may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This week was, it was a holiday on Monday, right? Things are so busy, I can't even keep track anymore. I think it was Monday. Paul and I took a little day trip, and we were talking in the car, and I don't even remember what the story was, some news story that I was telling him about, and we both were kind of appalled. There were, as there are with most news stories these days, there were two sides of a particular issue, and both sides were being really inconsistent with what they their own stated values were. And we were feeling kind of astounded, but not really surprised, and frustrated, and just generally fed up with humanity's ability to mess things up and be sort of hypocritical, kind of across the board. There's a lot of saying one thing and doing another or whatever. We were frustrated, and because sometimes we do this when Paul and I are having conversations, we just bring God into the conversation. So I said, God, why do you put up with us? Why have you let this species keep going so long? Anybody else ever feel like that? Yeah. I think the answer to that question is because God is love, and love is patient. On the other hand, we humans don't have a super great track record at being patient. Sometimes even with the people we love, right? Family members who were, sometimes we just get impatient and then we're over it, but sometimes it's bigger than that, right? We have family members who were once really close and suddenly they're not speaking to each other anymore, or lifelong friends break up, not to mention what happens in marriages sometimes. And also, I feel like our culture now is getting worse and worse because a lot of times we don't meet people the way that we used to in the regular kind of gradual getting to know people in person kind of way. We're meeting people online, and so we're already primed to gravitate to the people who think and believe and do things just the way we do, and we're not practiced in being patient with people who have a different view or a different way of doing things or a different way of life. And besides that, we also just have trouble being patient with our circumstances and with inanimate objects. I mean, any given week, I find myself being impatient with my car, my phone, my computer, my kitchen appliances, the fridge door, Zoom, you name it. There's something for me to get really irritated with, frustrated with, impatient with, right? I hope I'm not the only person in here.
The car in front of you on the highway.
Yes, the car in front of you on the highway, also. Thank you. Thank you for backing me up here. Patience is hard. If the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy is sort of the hope, the motivator for love. It's the thing that goes along with us and that we're kind of moving towards that gives us the hope to keep going. And peace is the evidence of love, wholeness in ourselves and enabling wholeness in the lives of other people. But patience is the hard work of love. And I think part of what makes it so hard is that really, it's waiting. A lot of it is waiting. We may still have, you know, we still have to do our job. We still have to be faithful and loving in our family. We still have to do the regular, everyday, mundane things. But when we're feeling impatient, we want to do something more to fix this situation or this person or this small appliance or whatever. We want to do something, and patience says wait. And I don't know anybody that's super great at that, at least not by default. The fruit of the Spirit is patient love. In fact, when Paul writes, who wrote the list in Galatians 5, when he writes about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he gives a list of a whole bunch of things love is not, and a list of only two things love is. And the first thing is patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. So, this matters. We can, probably most of us, most of the time, do a pretty good job loving people to an extent, or even maybe faking love that we're loving people. We can appear to be joyful, even if we're not. We might even be able to appear to be peaceful. And then the driver cuts us off on the pike, and suddenly anyone that we're riding with, and hopefully not the people driving around us, discover that maybe the fruit of the Spirit needs a little more cultivation in our lives. I actually plan to use a different scripture passage to preach from on patience today, but as I was thinking about it and praying about it, I realized patience is so hard for most of us that it might not be super helpful to look at another command to be patient. It might be more helpful to think about patience in direct connection to God himself. So on Tuesday, this is when I usually try to start, at least start writing my sermons, but it's also, as you know, Morning Quiet Day. And I would encourage you, if you haven't been to Morning Quiet, check in at least every so often, because we have really great conversations in there. And this week, this past Tuesday, we were looking at Psalm 27, and in the conversation, we usually talk about a whole lot of things that we see in these Psalms, but one of the things that came up was patience, and how at the very end of this Psalm, David says, "Wait on the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord." Having confidence in God when it seems like he's taking too long to come through for us is really kind of what this psalm is about, and I think is often what it turns out by default the Christian life is about. Having confidence in God is part of godly patience, even in the face of opposition, even in the face of enemies. So today we're going to look actually at two passages, Psalm 27 from Morning Quiet on Tuesday, and also the snippet from 2 Peter, which was in our responsive reading. If you want to, you can look at your bulletin, or you can look it up in your Bibles. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 3. But I just think it might be easier to see how we might love patiently if we first consider God's own patience with us. And then consider that we might be able to have more patience with others if we focus on, this might sound crazy, but being patient with God. So, in the Bible, patience is actually really closely connected to forgiveness. These two concepts, they're not identical, but they really go together. It's pretty hard to separate them. You can see it really clearly in Jesus' parable about the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18. The servant, and then the servant in the story says to the king, to whom he owes way more money than he could possibly ever pay, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back. Hold off the consequences of my mismanagement. Take your time to collect on the debt. I will do what I can to try to make this better. Be patient with me." God is love, and God's love is patient, and he is so patient that he offered us the forgiveness for our debts already. He loved us enough to provide complete forgiveness, not just patience, not just waiting for us to pay off our debt, but actual forgiveness of the debt itself by going through the agony and torture of death on a cross for our sins. Everybody's debt is already paid on that cross. And not everybody has yet acknowledged maybe that they even have a debt, or that Jesus' suffering and death on that cross paid it off. And they haven't necessarily accepted the forgiveness that he bought for them. God loves every single person on this planet from all of history enough to have the patience to allow as many of us as possible to receive the forgiveness and reconciliation that he gave everything to achieve for us. Unlike us, God is not in a rush. And this might have something to do with the fact that God created time, so God is not subject to time like we are. However, here's a little secret. If we are really saved, if we are really in Christ, if we are really reconciled and freed by the work of Jesus on the cross, we're not subject to time either. This current form of life that we're in right now has an end point, but we don't. Who knows what God is going to do with us? We don't have to stress out about running out of time because we're in Christ, and Christ is not subject to time. Time is subject to him, and he's going to do whatever he wants through us, whenever he wants to do it. He will accomplish his purpose. God can be patient because he made time, and he knows exactly how much of it each human being needs for God not only to invite that person into relationship with him, but also to forge that abiding, fruit-bearing relationship. So, for some people, even just saying yes to the forgiveness and the reconciled relationship with God takes a whole lifetime. Some people don't make that decision until right before the end of this particular version of this life. Some people make that decision pretty quickly in their lives, pretty early on, but it still takes every single one of us the rest of our lives for Christ's character and nature to be formed in ours, for us to faithfully bear the fruit of the Spirit. It's a process. It takes time. Every single one of us is a recipient of God's patience in one way or other. So in 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." God's in charge of time. "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Ultimately, everyone still has to choose, still has to decide to receive the forgiveness that God offered through Jesus or not. But God loves everyone enough not to rush the offer and not to rush the process, whatever it takes to restore his likeness in any human being who will say yes to him. So, kind of like Barb's analogy of the apple tree. If you had an apple tree that you could just snap your fingers and it would all of a sudden grow and bear fruit, I feel like the fruit probably wouldn't be that tasty because it takes the time, it takes the weather, it takes the sun, it takes the rain, it takes the type of soil that the tree is growing in to give it the particular character that it needs to take that time to develop. And this is the case for God. He doesn't rush things. God just doesn't rush. I heard on a podcast this week, I don't remember which one it was, but somebody said, Jesus never rushed. And I thought about this, and I didn't read all four of the Gospels in one sitting to check this out, but I think that's true. I cannot think of a time that Jesus rushed. This is in keeping with the fruit of the Spirit being peace, too, by the way. Jesus did tell people to stay alert. He did tell people to be ready for his return. He told people to bring the good news about him and his forgiveness to the ends of the earth. He himself did not rush. And the only time I can think of that he ever told anyone to rush, and the only reason I know this is because somebody's blog said it that I saw this morning, was when Zacchaeus was up in the tree and Jesus saw him and said, "Hurry up and come down, I'm going to your house." Zacchaeus was ripe. Zacchaeus in the tree was ripe. He was ready to be in this relationship. He was ready to accept. And so seize this moment, seize this opportunity. He's ready. But the process to get him there was not rushed. He was ready when he was ready. And the only other thing I could think of in connection to Jesus with rushing was in his parable about the prodigal son, when the father runs to the son, and when the son returns, again, the father didn't rush the son's process. He didn't say, no, you can't have all my money because you're going to be an idiot with it. He let him have it and let him go do his thing and waited patiently until he saw the son coming, and then he ran to him. When salvation is there, when the person is right, then we can hurry, but not before. So there are still some reasons. Oh, one thing. I don't want to forget this. The verses in 2 Peter remind us that God is even more invested in people coming to repentance than we are. God cares about this more than we do. So sometimes I think we get all concerned about people that we love and care about that don't know Jesus yet, and we think, oh, well, when are they going to come to Christ? Or maybe there's people that are just, regardless of their relationship with Jesus, they seem to have some big sin in their life, or they're really just obnoxious, and we just want them to be changed, and God wants that more than we do. He wants it more than we do. We need to not forget that. But there are plenty of possible reasons why we might try to rush God. One reason is we want Jesus to hurry up and come back, and we know that he won't until all the people that are going to come to repentance actually come to repentance. And I can't tell you how many times this year alone I have said, like the Apostle John at the end of Revelation, even so, come Lord Jesus, please just come back. I don't want to deal with this craziness anymore. It is hard, it's exhausting. There are so many people around me who are struggling. I don't like seeing these people having this hard time. Just come back and fix this. And I think we've had kind of built into our understanding of evangelism this idea that we need to hurry it up so that Jesus will come back. Quick, tell everybody. And even our hymn that we sang right before this sermon says, oh, Christians, haste. It also quotes our Bible passage today, so that's why I chose it. But I don't think that this passage is telling us that we need to haste. I think it's saying we don't. I think we have a faulty and maybe even unbiblical expectation or perspective about God's and our relationship to time. We think we got to speed it up, but really, it's just for us. God has all the time in the world. We think that the sooner he comes back, though, the sooner we can be done with all this nonsense that we're dealing with. Sometimes we want him to hurry up and come back on behalf of other people, but at least in my case, I know a lot of it is, I just don't want to deal with this anymore, so please just come back and fix it. Because here's the other thing. We also want God, one way or another, to fix the people who are making our lives difficult. That might be individuals in our own individual lives, or it might be the noisy people on the other side of the political spectrum on the internet, or it might be the presidential candidates, whichever one you're not a fan of, or it might be, who knows what it might be, but we just want God to fix that right now because it's a mess right now. And let's be honest. Sometimes there are people in our lives, sometimes they're really close to us, sometimes it's more of a big world thing, like stuff we've talked about this year. There are some things that do really wound us or wound people close to us. There is such a thing as abuse. There are really bad things that people do to other people. And so some offenses are hard to forgive. And if being patient and forgiveness are connected to each other, we need to take this seriously and we need to be honest about this. It is hard to forgive certain offenses, and when they happen over and over and over again from the same person, it's even harder. It's hard to forgive, and it's really hard, if not impossible, to have patience with that person after the millionth time they've done the thing that they do. And it is genuinely unloving, it is not an expression of the fruit of the Spirit, to allow people to persist in abuse if we can do something productive to stop it. Sometimes it is actually unhealthy for us to be in active relationship to people who succumb to certain types of sin that directly damage us or directly damage others. There are people, everybody has a sin nature. Everybody has particular sin or sins that they wrestle with. Some of those sins have a much more harmful effect on more people around them. And sometimes we can't be in relationship with that person directly. Even Jesus himself kept patient distance from those people who abused and ultimately killed him. He knew when the time was to come that he was going to be killed, but he didn't get too up close and personal with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and certainly the Romans. He interacted with them, but he didn't, even at the beginning of the Gospel of John, it says he didn't entrust himself to anybody because he knew what was inside people's hearts. And so even Jesus kept patient distance from them, but he was also patient, and he also publicly forgave those people from the cross. By God's grace, it is possible, only by God's grace, but definitely by God's grace, it is possible to forgive anyone who has sinned against us. And it is possible to have patience with them, even if it has to be from a distance, or from a distance for a while. In fact, as followers of Jesus, as people abiding in the vine, as people through whom the Spirit is trying to bear fruit, we must forgive, and we must have patience, no matter who. Even if the person we need to forgive and have patience with is ourselves. And that's a third reason that we might try to rush God. We really want God to fix us. When I was in my 30s, I was still struggling with stuff I had been struggling with as a kid. You know, I had been following Jesus since I was 4, and there were just some things that I couldn't get out of my own way. I couldn't stop doing these particular sins or this particular mindset. And I remember a few times saying to God, God, I thought the Holy Spirit was supposed to come and transform my life. I don't see any transformation here. Does this mean I don't have the Holy Spirit? I didn't mean that. I don't think I could have even asked God that question if I didn't have the Holy Spirit. But God was patient. And it takes a long time to be transformed. And I want him to transform me quickly, because, by the way, also I'm a perfectionist, so I don't have a lot of patience with my own flaws. But God is patient. God does have patience with my flaws. He is way more patient with my flaws, with your flaws, with everybody else's flaws than we are. So, this is my counsel to all of us as we try to do this humanly impossible thing of loving with patience. Direct our impatience and then our patience toward God. Here's why. If it's true that God is love, and it's true that God's love is patiently waiting for every single person to have the chance to come to repentance, and if it's true that it is only God's grace that saves and transforms, changes the heart of anyone, then on the big scale, in the big picture, we're not actually waiting for ourselves or the other person or the circumstances to change. We're waiting for God to change us or the other person or the world situation. And God may not do it on our timeline, but God is the only one who can. God is also the only one who's great enough, who's big enough, who's strong enough, who's patient enough to handle our impatience. So we might as well direct it to him, because guess what? He's the one who transforms us, and he can transform it into patience. The fruit of the Spirit is patience, which is first and foremost an ongoing decision to trust God in the process. All the processes. Whether it is the process of waiting for some kind of resolution to this COVID situation, or the process of waiting to see what happens after the election, and then dealing with whatever happens after the election, or the process of there's this person in my life who I really love, but they're doing this self-destructive behavior, and I just wish that they would stop, or the process of I really want my kids or my grandkids or my cousin or my friend or whoever to come to know who Jesus really is. God is trustworthy in all of those things. And it doesn't make it easier for us to deal with, but I think if we can remember to direct our impatience and then our patience toward God, it will help us to trust him in the process. And the fruit of patient love really will grow more solid as we trust and patiently wait on him. So this is kind of a weird sermon, because now we're getting to Psalm 27 and it's the end of the sermon. Trust me, it's actually the end of the sermon. But I just want to run through this because I think Psalm 27 really kind of shows almost the thought process of someone who is trying to remind himself to be patient, to wait on the Lord. So, in verse 1, this is written by King David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Often when we're impatient, the impatience is actually a mask of fear. We're afraid of something. We're afraid someone's going to die, or we're afraid we're going to get hurt, or we're afraid that we're going to be late, or some of the fears are huge and some of them are tiny, but a lot of times, maybe all the time, underneath our impatience is some kind of fear. God is the one who gives me the light of true perspective, and God is also sovereign. He invented time, and he even invented circumstance. Nothing and no one can outrun his time clock or out-circumstance him. Nothing can get out of his hand. No matter what it looks like around me, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to impatiently insist that things get better now, because I am in God's hand. I am abiding in Christ, and he is sovereign. Verses 2 and 3. When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. In some of the Psalms, it sounds like David is actually actively fighting. And in this Psalm, it doesn't really sound like he's fighting. He has enemies, and they're coming against him, that maybe they're even going to try to battle against him. But he's just waiting. He's being patient on God to do what God is going to do in this situation when he's confronted by an enemy. Actually, King David was quite notably merciful with a few of his very famous enemies, namely King Saul, who was the king before him, and David's own son, Absalom, who tried to steal the kingship from him. He was merciful because he knew that God would deal with those enemies in God's way, God's time. In verse 4, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. This is like the Old Testament version of abiding in the vine. David knows this is where his joy, his peace, his patience is going to come from. If he just stays dwelling with God in all circumstances, abiding with his patient, loving Lord in his temple. When we do that, we discover that we can trust him, and we can have patience as we wait for him to vindicate us, to redeem our situations, to help those people that we're concerned for. Waiting to be fruitful is a process. We discovered that in our garden this year. Most of our garden vegetables fruited really late. It was really weird. Some of them maybe ran out of time. But we still had an amazing harvest of tomatoes, especially. We've got peppers, we had some squashes. Waiting for something to bear fruit takes time. But King David knows where to go to bear the fruit, to abide with God. Skipping to verse 7. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. I need you to be patient with me, God. I need you to have a long fuse. Don't turn away from me in anger. Salvation, reconciliation, freedom, peace is only possible for any one of us because God is patient. Patience is really a form of grace. This is the patience that we have received from God. This is the kind of patience that God wants to give to other people through us. He wants to work it into our characters. This is the patience God is extending to the whole world, even our enemies. Verse 10, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. This is hard, even if my enemy is a member of my own family, who should care about me and care about what happens to me, even if God is my friend, and I will patiently trust him in this. God is patient even with them. And I wish he would sure hurry up, but I will trust. Verse 11, teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. Transform me, God, bear your fruit in me, so that any accusation that is thrown against me will be false, because I will be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 13 and 14, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. It is 100% up to God at the end of the day. He expects us to be obedient to him. He expects us to put one foot in front of the other. He expects us to follow him. But ultimately, our salvation, our family's salvation, our friend's salvation, our enemy's salvation, and all of our situations, our countries, the worlds, our towns, everybody, all of our growing in love for God, all of the fruit of the Spirit is up to him. And he wants it more than we do, and he is patient. Don't be impatient with yourself for being impatient, but pray earnestly and sincerely for this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit to grow in your life. I know I'll be praying it more for myself too. And then let's wait for the Lord.